You're listening to SBS News.
Tim Fischer was just 20 years old when he was conscripted into the army and sent to Vietnam. It's a moment he called his big break.
A patient at the Australian Field Hospital at Vung Tau is Second Lieutenant Tim Fischer. He comes from Boree Creek via Wagga.
Hello, folks. Surprise. This opportunity to wish you a happy Christmas.
He'd learn about leadership and international relations during his time in the war, returning to begin a long career in the political spotlight. Passionate about the rights of regional Australians, he was elected into New South Wales State Parliament and then Federal Parliament in 1984 as the leader of the National Party.
The music was Ode for the Common Man as the Nationals leader arrived at South Tweed Heads Bowling Club to officially launch his campaign. Addressing the party faithful, it was an evangelical Tim Fischer.
Do you want 16 years hard labour, more of the same?
No.
I can't hear you.
That's better.
He'd go on to become Deputy Prime Minister under John Howard and acting PM 16 times. Mr. Fischer's political legacy is a long one.
And as we are all Australians, I'm quite sure, for my part, let me speak, I will be guided by the will of the Australian people.
His time in the military often influenced his politics, in particular his view on whether the United States should go to war with Iraq.
I honestly hope, even though I may well be an ex-infantry platoon commander, that the diplomatic efforts will succeed. I, more than most, know well enough the agony of conflict. The diplomatic effort is what counts, and if that succeeds, then there should be no military intervention.
He found himself in a government forced to face climate change back in 1997.
We accept the need to work constructively to overcome the greenhouse gas emission problems, and we'll continue to do that as we head towards the Kyoto conference in December.
His quick wit and strong personality made him a colourful character on the floor of the House of Representatives, but he was also the butt of another famous wit, former Prime Minister Paul Keating.
Speaker, my question without notice is to the Prime Minister, who has sent the member for Petrie to sleep for most of question time. I ask... Order, the leader of the National
Party. Given
the leader of the National Party, I'll get on with his question.
Will you, in the national interest,
order,
and prioritising on getting this economy back on the rails, now drop your divisive plan to change our great national flag?
The Honourable Prime Minister, the Minister for Resources will cease in
a demonstration of intellectual incapacity and sterility. They've had it from the leader of the National Party. That is the dead hand, representing the dead hand that was laying upon Australia for most of the post-war years, the lowest common denominator...
Perhaps most famously, he was the man charged with selling John Howard's tough gun laws to regional Australia. An unpopular move in the regions and a mammoth task. Mr. Fischer has since called its success his greatest achievement in politics, as he recently told SBS News.
It was hard work, and John Howard's leadership, the involvement of the states and territories and bipartisan approach led to a firearms agreement that has worked for Australia. But it was, even then, against the poisonous influence and strategy of the National Rifle Association of the USA and their playbook. Move forward to this year and it's still the case.
In 2001, Mr. Fischer made a surprise decision to resign from politics, citing personal and political reasons. On ABC's Australian Story last year, his family revealed his oldest son's autism diagnosis and the challenge he faced as a father.
It was shattering. It was disappointing. It was challenging. And initially, I pushed back against it.
Described as having an extraordinary memory and a head for numbers, Mr. Fischer has since described himself as on the spectrum, becoming a vocal advocate for people with disabilities. Mr. Fischer was a practicing Catholic and, following his departure from politics, was deployed as the country's first resident in Rome ambassador to the Vatican. He was there for the announcement of Australia's first saint, Mary MacKillop, a cause he'd enthusiastically lobbied for.
I think believers and non-believers back in Australia will be delighted as this news unfolds, because she is regarded as a people's saint, someone who worked very hard with a lot of poor people.
Away from politics, he shared his lifelong passion for trains with Australia. He hosted three radio programs, wrote several books, and took part in many television documentaries. It was just last year the former deputy PM revealed his latest battle with cancer. He'd overcome three cancers already in his lifetime, which he attributed to exposure to the chemical Agent Orange during his service in Vietnam. He told Studio 10 he took each day as a blessing.
Enjoy every day with the family. Enjoy every day that comes along, because every day is an extra day.
In May, he was there to open a museum dedicated to his life at his birthplace of Lockhart in New South Wales. His legacy now cemented in Australian history. Amelia Dunn, SBS News.